Good morning. Today is Sunday, March 17th, 2024, St. Patrick's Day. We're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 101, starting with the third paragraph in our belief, and reading up to including page 102, the paragraph, Why Sit with a Long Face? Judith S.P. will be our reader, followed by a 20-minute share. Judith, please read for us.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, everybody, for being here. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain old whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best, but be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start and that your motive is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of the world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Judith. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today, Penny E. Penny, you have the floor. Please share with us.
Okay, have to unmute. I'll keep coming back. I unmuted. Good morning, everybody. I am Penny E, and I am from South Jersey. Grateful to be here, grateful for all the people doing service. And I used to attend when this meeting was live. I live near the Cherry Hill area. And so I was there when we had like 30 people in the room, and now I think we have about 200 here. So very, very grateful. I say I'm from South Jersey. Because there's a real difference between North Jersey and South Jersey. North Jersey is very New York, and South Jersey is very Philadelphia. So I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm going to qualify for a little bit before I get started. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I haven't had the need to pick up food for 35 years through the grace of God. My abstinent date is November 28th, 1988. And I know that because that was the second time I went into a 6-week treatment program in Florida back in those days, it was paid for by the insurance companies, and they paid for our flight. And it was a good time to have to go into treatment. So I've been maintaining that weight now, as I said, for a long time. I think I'm officially an old timer. In one of my other programs, they say you're an old timer if you haven't picked up and if you don't die. And so that's me. That's me. That's me. I would have died. I would have died probably by my own hand because I was suicidal when I was into this disease. Well, I'm just going to say, I'm looking at my clock here. I'll tell you, I really earned my seat here. I'm going to name some of the many things that I did to qualify for my seat in this room. I went to a pediatrician when I was young. They gave me appetite depressants, diuretics, amphetamines as 12 years old. My parents sent me to diet camp, Weight Watchers, in and out, in and out. I also spoke for a weight loss program that was a takeoff of Weight Watchers. And I remember eating and having crumbs all over my chest when I got to the place to speak and have to clean off my chest. My father used to love to say to me, if you lose weight, I will give you, I will buy you. And he was going to give me the Taj Mahal, you know. It was so important for them. I very early on got the message that it's not okay to be overweight. It's not okay. Nobody's going to love you. You'll never get married. They sent me to a psychiatrist. I tried laxatives. I tried a fork down my throat. I also tried what I thought was the wonderful world of Ipecac syrup. I thought I was going to die. You know, if one tablespoon is good, three tablespoons is better. And I thought I was going to throw up my entire insides in my bathtub. I never did that one again. I was in treatment two times. My parents sent me to a spa in Asbury Park. We were on a mission. We were on a mission. I think I mentioned diet camp. I had my jaws wired shut. I spoke as a lecturer. Geographic cure. Somebody asked me to move to Chicago, and I thought, that'll be good. I won't overeat in Chicago. And I did. I did. Someone actually told me one time to put a picture on my refrigerator of the woman I want to look like. And that didn't work. No way. Many different kinds of therapists, antidepressants. I did an awareness program, LifeSpring, eating disorder therapists, over and over and over again. They never worked. They never worked. The only thing that did work, because they did not address the obsession of the mind. They did not obsess what I need to do. They only obsessed with the dieting, and I needed a change. I needed transformation. Hence, we enter into the world of the steps. Once I work these steps, and I do today as if my life depends on it, I live them. I live them every single day as if my life depended on it. My new mantra is my desire to please God is the single most important thing in my life today without exception. And I don't do it perfectly. Thank you, God. I wouldn't need you. I wouldn't need God. I wouldn't need this program. But the program is written such that, you know, if I make a mistake, I can make an amends. So that's about 5 minutes. And so just to give you an idea, I have this disease and I've been in recovery for a long time. My high weight was 237 pounds. And my most recent doctor's appointment, which was Friday, I was 129 pounds. And I've been transformed. I recoil as if from a hot flame. Okay, so that's that. So I fit. I'm one of us. So let's get into this reading. And let me set my clock here again. Stop, reset, go. So I have about 15 minutes, I think, but somebody's going to remind me. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking. And then in italicized, and of course it's been coming around, you know, it's always more money. It was more money for the big book to have it be printed in italicized. And it says, if we have a legitimate reason for being there, you know, if it's a wedding, if it's a I don't know, but a bar mitzvah, if it's a legitimate easy. We used to say we don't go into the bar to buy cigarettes. You know, I don't go into Dunkin' Donuts to buy a bottle of water. You know, I don't need to do that. A legitimate reason. And I don't think that that's really for newcomers. I think this paragraph is not necessarily for newcomers. Because, well, I'll get into that. I'll get into that. If we have a legitimate reason to be there, and this includes all kinds of places, I don't need to say what they are. And it says you will note that we made an important qualification. Ding, 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 ding. If we have a legitimate reason for being there. But even more important than that, I think on page 102, there's even a more important part of this. And it says, but be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not, okay, then I'll do that. So, spiritual ground, this is not for newcomers. This is not for somebody who hasn't been through the steps. In my opinion, I speak for myself. I don't speak for OA. I don't speak for this meeting. I don't speak for the big book. If I were your sponsor and you told me you were going here, I would say probably don't do it if you're a newcomer. How can you be on good spiritual ground? We haven't worked the steps yet. My opinion, it may be controversial, but it's my opinion. Being in recovery is, well, it used to be the most single, most important thing in my life, without exception. Now, of course, pleasing God, but in order to please God, I have to be abstinent. So there we have it. So be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and your motive for going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. This is a spiritual principle too. What can I bring? Not about I. Am I going to be okay? Me. What about my food? It's not about that. It's like, what can I bring to this? What can I bring to this occasion? How can I add joy? How can I add pleasure? How can I add love? It's about love, bringing love. How can I do that? Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, it says here loud and clear, but if you're shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. And I add, and don't go. I mean, our recovery, our abstinence is so precious. And if we pick up, if we have a slip or whatever, I have no guarantee that I'm going to be coming back. I don't know when I'll be coming back. I just don't know. So through the grace of God, I say that a lot. For today, I don't chance it. I don't chance it. Where am I with time? Okay. I don't know where I am with time. That's okay. So, and I have, it says, why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good days? And for me, what I hear with that is resentment. Resentment, anger, jealousy. They can eat, you know, so on and so forth. We know that resentment is the number one offender. Don't go if I'm going to have a long face. You know, do what I can do. You know, go to a meeting, go help a newcomer, do something else, but don't go. It's not that important. And to me, any occasion is not more important than the security and the safeguard of my recovery. It just isn't. And I wrote down some things. You know, I go to another 12-step program, but if we're going to go, they tell you what you can do to beware, to be prepared for this particular going to this place. And I wrote them down. And it's not only from the other meetings, for this us too. If we're going to eat out, I want to check the menu. You know, I want to check the menu. Can I get what I want? Can I get a plain this? Can I get a plain that? Can I get a plain this? This is spiritual to me, you know, not assuming that it's going to be okay, you know, protecting what I have, what God has given me. Call ahead, let them know I need a plain this, a plain that. If I'm going to order, make sure it's plain. You know, what are the ingredients in this? What are the ingredients in this? When in doubt, don't eat it. When in doubt, don't eat it. It's for me, it's just not worth it. Always have like a bookend call, like call before I go. I'm going in, and call when we come out. also today we have cell phones. I mean, we can be with somebody 24/7. You know, let's use that. There's safety in numbers. My mother always used to say to me when we used to come to the city of Philadelphia, there's safety in numbers. Don't go with just one or two. Go with three, four, or five. Can always take a friend with you, you know, an abstinent friend with you. So it's again, safety in numbers. We can also take our own food. I do that most often. You know, sometimes it's not really easy. Sometimes it's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed, but not more embarrassed than being in my disease, not more embarrassed than being 237 pounds, not bathed, whatever. I don't have to go there. I can also take my own car for an easy exit. Let me get out of here. You know, it's just not worth. The other thing is, too, I was told by somebody who who I respect, if you can't get what you want, if you can't get what you need, you know, like I have four different things, the protein, the starch, vegetable, whatever. If you can't get your starch, don't eat it. And when you go home, I can add it to my next meal, which I have done in the past. And but I certainly stay in touch with my sponsor, you know. Don't eat anything, add it to your next meal. So it takes a lot. It takes a lot, I think, for somebody to be able to go to places and not have a long face. You know, what I'm doing for myself is the gift. It's God's gift. You know, it's God's gift. That food that everybody else is eating is not for me. God has proven that to me over and over again. If it's a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure, which I talked about already. If it's a business occasion, do your business enthusiastically. If you're with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go. I don't know. I'm not going to go into Dunkin' Donuts and order a tuna salad. I'm just not going to do that. So some of these, we have to pick and choose what we're going to go with here. It also talks about let your friends know they are not to change your eating habits. Nobody in my life needs to know that. Okay. So that's really what I have to say about this this reading. It's the other thing is I stay in contact with my sponsor. I stay in contact with my sponsor. If I'm going to some place, this is what's going to happen, and this is what I'm going to eat. And if I can't eat it, I'll text you. So mainly this, what I get out of this is solid spiritual ground. This is all about the steps. If you haven't been through the steps, if you're not living the steps, I would say don't go. Don't go. That's what this says here to me. So anyway, I probably have a lot more time. I don't know how much time I have, but I'm done. I
have about five more.
I'm finished. I said what I need to say. I can sing a couple lines for you if you want, but I won't do that. So I should finish. Okay. I'm getting this. All right. Thank you all. I love you. Love you. Love you. Thanks for being here.